You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, the Lakers beat the Spurs. We totally predicted it. We knew this was going to happen. We thought that they would win going away the way that they did, even in overtime. We're just geniuses, right?
I just want to say, once again, I'm not going to say you're welcome, America, because we're Canada's Lakers podcast here. You're welcome, Canada. national hero Tyler Ennis. Solid game for the Lakers tonight. I would like to be the first one to say I'm sorry in Tyler's native language that he was. I think the last episode, you and I successfully reverse jinxed this. We talked about the Tyler Ennis just should not play, and we said, you know, the Lakers against the Spurs, second night of back-to-back, that's not looking good. Successfully reverse jinxed this win to existence. You're welcome, Canada. And I'm sorry for making fun of Tyler Ennis. Can you accept my apology, eh?
I'll let Tyler Ennis answer that for you. I am not going to apologize because I'm not going to do that thing where, remember, this is exactly what happened last season, where, like, he finishes the season with a few, like, non-completely detrimental games, and people head into the offseason thinking, oh, you know, maybe this is the Tyler Ennis that we thought it would be. And then he winds up back with the team next year, and we remember, oh, shit, that's right, Ennis still stinks.
You had to curse. All right.
But what we're going to talk about on today's show, we are going to talk about this game, what sweeping the Spurs means. Luke was kind of nonplussed about, you know, what it means for the team. But I think Harrison is in agreement with me that it's not nothing. So we're going to talk about that stuff. We are again going to go to the well of, man, what could have been this year if a few things break the Lakers' way. I do have a minor counterpoint in response to that. But as always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at Tyler Ennis's number one fan. You can follow me on Twitter at Tyler Ennis's number one hater. Hate with like an 8. It's like H8R. It's like that super cool email thing that everybody used to do when they were in high school.
Yeah, I was going to say middle school, but sure.
I wasn't mature in high school. That's going to shock you. All right, so let's. I want to start here because now you were, I think, about 5 years old, but the Lakers sweep the Spurs for the first time since the 1997-1998 regular season. Del Harris was their coach at the time. Nick Van Exel was saying 1-2-3 Cancun. Cedric Sabalas, no, that was, I think they were a playoff team that year, so he wasn't saying it that year. Cedric Sabalas didn't hate the Lakers at that point. And most importantly than any of that stuff, the number one song in the country was Too Close by Next. Can I just list some of these songs and let me know if you know any of them?
Okay, yeah, that first one, maybe if you played it to me, otherwise I don't know it.
All right. The Boy Is Mine, Brandy and Monica's kind of sort of redo of Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson's The Girl Is Mine.
Nope.
All right. Shania.
I hadn't even heard of that first one.
Okay. That's going to piss people off. All right, Shania Twain's You're Still the One.
Yep, heard of that one.
There you go, we're one for
my dad, big Shania Twain fan.
Savage Garden, Truly Madly Deeply.
No.
Leanne Rimes, How Do I Live?
I've heard of Leanne Rimes.
How do I live? Remember that one?
Okay, yeah, I've heard that song.
There you go. Janet, Together Again?
No.
I don't think I know that one. Casey and JoJo, All My Life. Come on, you have to know that one. Everybody knows that one. It played at like every high school dance that has ever existed. even before that song was released. It was played at those things somehow.
I got kicked out of high school prom, so.
Of course. Elton John's Candle in the Wind?
I've heard of Elton John. Okay. I'm not really a music guy, so this is probably not the best bit. Revealing how little culture I have.
Usher's Nice and Slow. Come on, you have to know that one.
Heard of Usher.
Lost My Virginity, that one. Paula Cole, I don't want to wait.
No, I'm done after that last one. I'm sorry. That was too much. That was way more information than I ever needed on a Lakers podcast.
Let's send everybody into a quick break, and when we come back, we'll actually talk about the Lakers and all that good stuff. Sound good? Are you going to be okay?
No.
No?
I'm not coming back.
So Harrison actually didn't come back, and I am stuck here talking about the game. All right, I guess until Harrison comes back, so long as he isn't actually listening to this, I will say that Ennis did play well, 10-7, 4-9 shooting, whatever, 2-4 from three-point range. He had that one big one where he just kind of like dribbled around and then realized, oh, crap, they left me open.
Second highest plus minus on the team.
You've been here the whole time?
Yep.
Oh, you – all right. You didn't hear any of that stuff. I do want to just this is a minor wet blanket point, but Julius Randle was pretty awful in tonight's game, or last night's game, and I think it had to do with one. I don't think he's necessarily comfortable in the creator off of his own dribble role. He's a lot better, exponentially better, creating off of somebody else's the initial ball handler. Whether it's a pick and roll or whatever it is. And I think if the Lakers are, the Lakers the last couple of games have kind of gone to him as the primary ball handler, and I just don't think he's necessarily very good there. And then also, Powell and Aldridge are long enough and smart enough that he goes to his usual bully ball stuff, and they're good enough at using angles to not get pushed off the spot as well. And because they are as long as they are, and because of the angles and stuff, they just create a lot more contest. It's a lot more crap between him and the basket than it is against other guys. He seems to have trouble with those kinds of players, but they don't play them again this season. Kuzma was awesome though, and I do think we should talk about Kyle Kuzma.
Yes, so Kyle Kuzma tonight, apparently per Shahan Ahmed of NBCLA, mm-hmm. his mentality when he went into overtime was, this is the full quote, just kill.
He's a psychopath.
I know you don't want to hear the Kobe stuff.
Don't do
stuff,
it. Don't, Harrison.
But that tweet should have said his Mamba mentality headed into overtime, because Kyle Kuzma is the evolutionary Kobe. I'm just going to come out and say it.
Now I'm not coming back. I just like why can't these young kids just do cool stuff and not have to lean back on the crutch of, oh hey, look, Kobe used to do cool stuff. Like, come on. It was really awesome.
I just
awesome.
Wanted to make you mad.
It was really fun to watch him do his thing. He had that
ruined it for you.
In the overtime, he starts with 5 straight points, one off of a crazy 3-pointer, and then the next one he has that skyhook that's just freaking awesome to watch. And yeah, it's cool. Like, the skyhook in and of its own is a reference back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and biting on his own jersey. And I've even seen him, I don't know if you've noticed this every so often, but he will kind of stick out that lower jaw. Like, he'll do the Mamba face.
I'm telling you, he wants to be Kobe.
Well,
just like Kobe wanted to be Michael Jordan.
Okay. So maybe it's just a phase. Maybe it's just, and then eventually he'll realize, oh, actually I'm a lot more successful at branding myself if I'm actually myself, hopefully.
Maybe, but I also think that it does just underscore, like, the larger point to take out of tonight. Like when Kyle Kuzma was drafted with the number 27 overall pick that the Lakers got in exchange for D'Angelo Russell.
He's such a jerk.
Okay, that was just to make Anthony mad.
You're like singular goal in this show is like, all right, yeah, let's my goal get is Anthony
to troll you. Like, that's the only reason I still do this podcast is just to like watch you get angry over things. But no, when the Lakers took Kyle Kuzma with the number 27 pick, no one was not sitting there thinking that this was a guy that was going to have like multiple 30-point games that was going to single-handedly lead the Lakers to wins. And like, he wasn't single-handed tonight. Channing Frye was unbelievable. Ivica Zubac even had his moments. Like, that was the most random team of Lakers that could have possibly led this franchise to a win. But they swept the Spurs, and they do it on a night that their two late first-round picks play incredible and make big winning contributions, especially down the stretch and in overtime. Like, the Lakers do not win that game without the way Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart played in that overtime. Like, there's just no chance.
Those two guys, a team high plus 19 tonight.
Yeah, and so I think the bigger takeaway from all of this is not just that the Lakers are sweeping the Spurs. It's that for the first time since there were a bunch of songs that I've never heard of, but it's that they've done it behind these rookies and these young guys, and that they're going to win like, you know, 30. Where are they at now? Like, they're going to win like 35-ish games, and yeah, they're going to win 35, 36 games, maybe even 37 games. If they go like 3-1 down the stretch, that seems unlikely.
But
they could win like 35 games, it's looking like. And for a team looking to make a good pitch going into free agency, and for a team to do that on the backs of young guys when they've had so many injuries, especially in the second half of the year, and to play so well post All-Star break, I think, and to do all of this with defense, I think it's been a more positive year than we've been lately. We have been, I think, very negative on the team over the last couple weeks, and that's been fair because they've been trotting out G League lineups.
Yeah,
but
they even with tonight, they have lost 8 of their last 11. Like, that doesn't change the analysis of before. Huge development. Are you ready for this?
Probably not.
Humongous development. Luol Deng was a DNP, sprained left ankle. How did he do it?
Hey, it wasn't a coach's decision.
How? Like, how did he sprain his ankle? How did they know?
Well, he still does full practice with the teams.
How did, like, when he went into the trainer's office, did the trainer just laugh? Like, was it
he's had the ankle thing for like a week or two now.
Is it just an April Fool's joke that's gone a little too long?
That's been for like a week. I'm amazed that you haven't noticed it.
I mean, I haven't seen. Maybe I'm not looking at all the box scores.
But yeah, I remember. Tanya was making fun of the Lakers injury report for declaring him questionable with a sprained ankle because she's like, Luol Deng is questionable to sit on the bench in street clothes tonight.
Oh, yeah, I remember that tweet.
Like,
I remember that tweet.
And so, you know, this has been like a little bit of a thing for a while. I think they just like by the NBA are mandated to report publicly if a guy's injured. So,
yeah.
Or it wasn't a DNP CD. He's making progress back towards the rotation.
How great would it be if on the very last night of the season, he plays a single second? like that's it. The game is it. The fourth quarter is down to the final second, and in walks Luol Deng. And he hits a three.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would have been the only way this win could have been more improbable.
Yeah. I want to – so we'll tease the conversation that we're going to have here in a second by saying that, look – we've been saying for a while now that if Julius Randle starts earlier on in the year, I haven't updated the tally that I had made, but if Julius Randle starts earlier on in the year, if Lonzo Ball doesn't get hurt, if Ingram doesn't get hurt, if Tyler Ennis isn't their primary backup point guard, that this team is capable of being a playoff contender, maybe not a playoff team, but a playoff contender, right? And we're going to build on some of that stuff. And look, sweeping the Spurs, even if you're talking about all the various circumstances that went into this, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, like they didn't have future Laker Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
But still,
sweeping the Spurs, it's something that hasn't been done in 20 years. Like that, it can't not mean anything, right? So what we're going to talk about here when we come back is we're going to build on what we think the potential could have been. I'm also, though, since you guys love it when I do this, I'm also going to throw a slight wet blanket point, a slight disclaimer on all of this optimism as fun as it is to talk about, and I'll do that here in a second. All right, you ready for me to just piss everybody off?
I mean, it's a daily occurrence.
It is a day that ends in Y. So we are going to, as we just alluded to a second ago, the Lakers do have a really cool, really bright, really fun future ahead of them that might feature superstars that want to come in and be a part of this really bright, fun future. But before, even against my own point, even against the stuff that I was saying of what could have made this team a playoff contender, you could say all of that same exact stuff, all of the what ifs, can apply to literally every team in actual playoff contention, right? Like, if Rudy Gobert doesn't miss time, Utah probably secures home court advantage. Jimmy Butler has missed time. Kawhi Leonard has barely played this year.
Well, nobody turns injuries off.
Right. Well, but you still have, you know, we're talking about, you know, the Lakers missing a bunch of injuries. Now I think it's fair to say that a bad team going through injuries has a larger impact than a good team.
That's exactly what's going to be my counterpoint.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to be made there. But I would still say, though, and look, it'd be really fun if the Lakers had maybe four or five more wins and they were a part of this playoff conversation. I just think there's a spot in between everything going right and look at what this team could have been if everything goes right, and being realistic in expectations as it's happening, right? Because that's one thing that I always kind of warn people against is enjoy the success and don't let that refrain or rebuild your expectations to an unrealistic place, because all that's going to happen is you're going to get let down in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think that's exactly fair, because this Lakers team, especially with the KCP and Brook Lopez as their veterans, were perfect fits for this roster at the time. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers might sign guys a lot better than that this summer, but they also might sign guys worse than that. They may not be able to bring back guys that of that caliber. And so they may have caught lightning in a bottle this year on some level and kind of changed expectations for this team to an unrealistic degree. Like, if they sign guys that don't end up being that good, then even with natural growth from all of the young guys, that isn't necessarily going to be enough to make up for it. And this team theoretically could take a step backwards next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and look, it's one of the things that you and I are going to talk about as we move on from analyzing this season and start looking ahead to next, is how will these guys handle expectations, right? Like, Kuzma is going to come into next year. People are going to expect a lot of the guy, a lot of,
especially if he keeps like basically trying to model himself after Kobe.
Yeah. People are going to,
man, Kyle Kuzma must hate Kobe, because all the people compare him to him.
I know what you're doing right now, Harrison, and I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm just making fun of your tweets, Anthony.
Josh Hart is going to come into next season with expectations. Lonzo, even though he's missed as much time as he has and was up and down, is going to come into this year, next year, with expectations. And that's all going to be interesting to watch how they handle all of that. But for right now, I think we can just sit back and enjoy the look on Greg Popovich's face as the Lakers, behind Tyler Ennis and Channing Frye and Ivica Zubac and some 27th pick in last year's draft, may have potentially ended their playoff aspirations or put a serious dent in them.
Which is, like, that's ultimately the best legacy that this Lakers team could have. Yep. Is just, you know, trolling the Spurs.
I can't think of them.
And hey, they can make the recruit. They can make the, when Kawhi is lining up his preferred trade yes, partners this yeah. summer, just be like, hey, you know, one team went 3-0 against the other team without you. Like, think about which team you could make better.
Yeah, I mean,
count the scoreboards.
I don't even know what the retort to be with that would be to that from San Antonio. Like, what would they even say? I know I'm sorry that we...
Greg Popovich would be like, seriously? Or if it was like tonight when people tried to ask him questions, he would just speak before they were allowed to be there, not take any questions from the people that were there, and then leave, which is what he did for the second night in a row tonight, apparently, at Staples Center.
What do you think he says, like, even, like, as he's speaking to nobody before anybody can actually show up?
I have no idea. He probably just, like, stupid question, imaginary person, but I'll answer with some basketball knowledge anyway.
He just talks about the various wine he's going to drink, like, later tonight, yeah. Right, on the way back. Like, that's, I have to imagine that's his retort to everything. All right, any final points before we send everybody off?
No, just I think it was worth being a little bit more positive today just because of how negative we've been lately, and just reminding people, like, hey, this has still been the best Lakers season in several years, easily.
Oh, inarguably, indisputably. Yeah. This is legitimately, like, you know, you know how everybody has their, like, fun teams or favorite teams that don't really make much sense as being, like, their favorite teams? This is...
Like the Nick Van Exel Lakers that you talk about, that Kuzma wore that jersey tonight?
Yeah, I mean, those teams won.
Do you think that he hates Van Exel because he's constantly compared to him, or, you know...
Who's ever compared Kyle Kuzma to Nick Van Exel?
Me, just now, because he wore his jersey.
I'm going to retweet myself just to annoy you.
That's fine.
Send it back at you, and it'll completely backfire in my face.
Yeah, that's how most of your tweets go that you think are going to prove a point to people.
All right. Well, as we've laughed and enjoyed, the Lakers beat the San Antonio Spurs just like Harrison and I predicted, 122-112. In overtime, Kyle Kuzma scores 30 points. This was his 20th game scoring double digits. I think he tied Magic Johnson for that. So incredible accomplishment for that. I don't think Kobe had any double-digit point scoring games in his rookie year.
That's, probably not.
That's something to look up. Shouts to Del
Kuzma
Harris.
Better.
Dude, Twitter would not have handled Del Harris very well. It would It would not have gone over very well. Have a great day, everybody. Except Nate Duncan and Amin Alhassan. You guys...
Is that our new sign-off?
Yeah, that's gonna be it. And anybody else who starts beef with your internet dad.